Well, hello, and wherever you're listening to this from, this is not the recording from the Five this week. It wasn't recorded on the night, sadly. So I'm currently sat in Jacob's well, just to do another recording of the message that I gave on Sunday the 8th of April. So it's not the recording from the Five, but it is a similar recording, which I hope is going to be helpful. So, if you've been around at Christchurch for the last little while, you'll know and understand that we've been in this teaching series, which has taken us is going to take us through the academic year, and we felt like God wanted us to call that the year of growth, and so we've been looking at the year of growth now since around October time. And we've covered five different series so far. We've had roughly 26 different messages. We've looked at the language of growth. We've looked at fathering and forgiveness. We've looked at a series called Setting Yourself Up to Thrive, which was in January. We've looked at sin and salvation, and we've just finished a series, an amazing series on our building towards Easter. And when we first put the Year of Growth teaching plan together back in August or September, whenever it was, we decided that we wanted to build into it 1 week, which fell somewhere near the middle, that would act a bit like a reflection week, a chance for us to evaluate and see where we're up to, ask some good questions about our growth and our development and our progress, and to see what things have really impacted us in the year so far. And this is that week. And when we wrote it down in the plan, we originally called it a soil assessment, which is fine. Sounds a bit strange, and so I'm not going to call my talk this week a soil assessment. I'm actually going to call it progress check. So this message is called progress check. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word progress. I imagine some clear ideas come into your mind, and I also imagine that the majority of those ideas that we have around progress fall into one specific category of definition of what progress is. I think there are probably two main categories of definition for progress. And this first one, which is, I think, what we often think about when we think about progress, is really all about improvement. Progress is improvement. Progress is all about getting better at stuff. And culturally, I think we're really into self-improvement, aren't we? There's somewhat of an obsession around self-improvement, around getting better at stuff. And bettering ourselves is generally considered a really good thing. And of course, it is a really, really good thing in some ways. But self-improvement, when it's all about, you know, getting that promotion, making more money, looking a certain way, running faster, lifting heavier, swimming in the fast lane, which if you were around in January, in October when I told my story of swimming, I've now made it into the fast lane. I've been swimming in the fast lane for a little bit, only a little bit though. I got a bit worried that I got a bit pressurized by the people behind me, so I moved back quickly back into the other one. So I think culturally we're really into self-improvement, and that's okay, but our definition of progress when it is just centered around progress and bettering is not the whole picture. Because the trouble with having a definition of progress which primarily revolves around being better at stuff is that we buy into the culture of self-improvement, which by its very definition revolves around self. And that's what we're not really about, that, are we? You know, we believe that Jesus is at the center of all things. We believe that he is the beginning and the end, which also means he's everything in between. He is at the center of our lives, and hopefully we're building lives, relationships, families, careers, hobbies, with that truth in mind, that Jesus is at the center of all things. And so whilst this definition, one first definition of progress being all about improvement is okay, it's only a part of the story. And because we're not all about self, we're about Jesus being at the center, it can't be the center of our definition of progress. So the second definition of progress, or the second category of definition of progress then, is all about forward movement. It's all about the sense of heading towards a destination. It's about being on a journey. And I want to make sure that we include this second category into our definition of progress, because it's really important that we have a much more holistic definition of what progress is all about. We know from the story of God right across Scripture that he is not just interested in the destination that you reach. He's not just about getting from point A to point B, and point B being the point of destination. It's not just about reaching the destination, it's about how we get there. It's about the journey that it takes to get there. And remember that in January, when we talked in our series, Setting Yourself Up to Thrive, we talked about following Jesus. And in that word following, it means literally to be on the road in union with Jesus. That's what that word is all about. And you know, progress is also about continuing to make choices, about being on the road, walking forwards with Jesus in our lives. Right at the beginning of our year of growth, we had a session all about responsibility. And we said that it's God's responsibility to grow things, and it's our responsibility to create an environment in which growth is actually possible. And so when we're talking about progress, let's not just center our definition of progress around improvement, around getting better. Let's also remember that it's about moving forward. It's about being on the road with Jesus. It's about keeping making decisions and choices that are also about creating an environment in which growth is possible. So with that in mind, and having set that up a little bit, I want to just focus on three main thoughts out of our reading from this week, which comes out of 1 Timothy chapter 4. So if you've got a Bible to hand, or on your phone, or whatever you're listening to this on, or whatever it is, if you've got a Bible, please head to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I just want to read to you our reading, and then I'll take it on from there. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read the whole chapter. It says this: "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe, who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." So that's our reading for this week, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Our main focus out of that reading will be verses 15 and 16, the last two verses of that chapter. And I want to read those verses to you again, but this time in the Amplified translation. It says this: "Practice and work hard on these things. Be absorbed in them, completely occupied in your ministry, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself, concentrate on your personal development and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, hold to them, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." The first thing I want to say as part of this message is this: progress is powerful. Progress is powerful. And at this point, I want to touch on something that may have been in some people's minds, excuse me, throughout our year of growth so far. And I want to try and challenge this idea that by looking inward, we cannot look outward. I think these verses challenge that strongly. And I know it's a challenge that we sometimes face, that when we feel like we're looking at ourselves, we also can't then look at the things around us or the people around us. You know, progress is powerful because in God's economy, progress is not just for you, it's also for the people around you. I would go as far as to say that on the basis of this scripture that we've just read, that actually progress is mission. Progress is mission because life is mission. And if you're someone who separates life into lots of little boxes, I want to gently and kindly and challenge you to take that way of living to God over the next week. You know, we have so many boxes for things in the way we live our lives sometimes. We have a box for church. We have a box for small communities. We have a box for worship. We have a box for prayer. We have a box for looking at ourselves. We have a box for mission. We have a box for our workplace. We have a box for our relationships, our marriages, whatever it is. We have so many boxes that we live life in. And when we live life like that, we can live so categorized. And what that means is that when it comes to things like this, when we're talking about personal development or progress, and when we look at ourselves, sometimes what we think is that we have a box for our personal development, our inward stuff. And what that means is that if we have a box for that, we struggle then to think or believe that we can also be looking out at the same time. And so I want to challenge that this evening, that in no way does looking inward mean you can't look outward unless you make that true in your life. Going back to our message right at the beginning of the year, we talked about what the weight of our lives hangs on. It was about dependency. And sometimes when we hang the weight of our lives on things like the activity of the church, when we become dependent on the activity of the church for our activity in our life, the weight of that activity, the weight of the church, wasn't designed to support the whole weight of our life. Jesus is. And so it's important that we remember that Jesus is the one who carries the weight of our lives. He is the one that we are dependent on. And of course, the church and the people around us, we all play roles, and other play roles in helping to support the weight of our lives. But it's not the full picture. Jesus is the one who supports the weight of our lives. So in these verses 15 and 16, when Paul writes to Timothy, he tells Timothy to pay close attention to himself, to concentrate on his personal development. And then he tells Timothy that as he does this, as he perseveres in this, he will ensure not just the salvation of himself, but the people around him. Now that's an amazing thought. And so progress is powerful because people see the way that we live our lives, and they see the progress we make. And when your life gets changed by the power of God, the people around you see that. They notice it. They're going to ask questions about that. There's something powerful in our progress. And so let's remember that. Progress, number one, is powerful, because progress can be mission, and mission is all about life. Jesus lived life. So the second thing I want to say in this message is that progress links to purpose. So progress is powerful, but the power of your progress is attached to your understanding and knowledge of God's purpose in our lives. So when Paul tells Timothy in verse 15 to be diligent in these matters, or in the Amplified, it says, practice and work hard on these things. What Paul is referring to is the verse that he's written just before that, which is essentially all about Timothy's purpose. He tells Timothy not to neglect the gift which was given to him through the prophecy when the elders laid hands on him. He's talking about the purpose that God has given Timothy. So when it says, be diligent in these matters, Paul's saying, be diligent in the purposes of God on your life. Give yourself wholly to them. The Amplifier said, "Be absorbed in them," writes Paul, "so that everyone may see your progress." So being absorbed in, being wholly, giving yourself wholly to the purposes of God, links to the fact that everyone will see your progress. Now, we know that there are layers to purpose, aren't there? There's a broad-reaching sense of progress, things that we're all called to, things like we're called to be light of the world, we're called to be generous, we're called to love God and to love the people around us, all that kind of stuff. There's a broad-reaching sense of purpose in life, but there's also a specific kind of purpose that is God's call and plan and destiny in our life, and both are important. And so when when Paul writes to Timothy here, don't neglect the gift that was given to you through prophecy and the laying on of hands of the elders, that is a specific strain of purpose that is on the life of Timothy. And so when he writes to Timothy, be diligent in these things, he's calling him to be diligent in pursuing the purpose that God has given him in his life. So knowing God's purpose in our lives and understanding God's purpose is a really important element in our progress. Because if I'm going to give myself wholly to something, if I'm going to be completely absorbed in something, I really, really want it to be something that I'm called to. I want it to be something that God has placed on my life. I realized recently, I felt God challenged me on something in the way that I've been living my life recently, which is I felt like there was an imbalance in the way I was absorbed in like my physical activity. So particularly being at the gym and working out and all that kind of stuff. I felt like there was an imbalance, and I felt God challenged me that I was overly absorbed in that part of my life. Now, of course, it's in one sense, it's great. It's good to be pursuing that. But here's the thing, that physical activity is good, but it's not my purpose. You know, it's a good thing to have in my life, but it's not my calling. And so recently I felt God just been I guess addressing that balance in my life in what I'm absorbed in, what I'm giving myself wholly to. Because I want people to see my progress, but I want it to be linked into the purpose that God has called me to. So having a knowledge and an understanding of our purpose allows people to see the progress in our life. And if we go right back to the basic thing of life, you know, people see the way we live our lives, don't they? People notice the way you live. People notice the decisions you make. They take note of the language that you use. They take note of the relationships you have. They take note of the things that you spend your money on. They take note. People are aware of the way that we live our lives. And so the question here, I guess, is do you have a knowledge and understanding of God's purpose in your life? And that's both layers of broad-reaching purpose, but also specific design and destiny purpose that he's called you to. It's okay if your answer to that question is no, I don't. That's absolutely fine. And if it is the case that you don't have an understanding or knowledge of God's purpose in your life, then we'd love to find a way to help you with that. But having an understanding of your purpose, being absorbed in the purposes of God, being diligent in these matters, allows the power of that progress to be seen by the people around you. Be diligent in these matters. Practice and work harder on these things. The Amplified says, be absorbed in them, completely occupied in your ministry. I want to be absorbed in the things that God has called me to. I want to be completely occupied by the things that God has called me to, so that people will see the progress and see God's purposes progressing in my life. So the final thing I want to just say as part of this message is that progress links to perseverance. So number one, progress is powerful, and the power of our progress is attached to our knowledge and understanding of God's purposes in our lives. But finally, our ability to fulfill the purpose of God in our life will almost certainly require perseverance. Almost certainly require perseverance. I noticed as I as I studied for this message and did a bit of reading, when that word progress occurs, and it occurs a few times in Scripture specifically, when it occurs, I notice a similarity of language around the word progress. And I want to just pick up on that a little bit. The word progress occurs in Ezra chapter 5. The people of God are rebuilding the temple of God. And the governor of Trans-Euphrates sends a letter to the king. And progress is mentioned in his letter. And he says this to King Darius, and this is from Ezra 5, to King Darius, cordial greetings. The king should know that we went to the district of Judah, to the temple of the great God. The people are building it with large stones and placing the timbers in the walls. The work is being carried out with diligence and is making rapid progress under their direction. Progress is also mentioned in Philippians chapter 1, and it's when Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and it's the bit where he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. So in those two examples of where progress is mentioned, and in this one in Timothy, we've got some similarities of words. We've got words like diligence appear. So diligence appears in Ezra. It also appears in this verses in Timothy, in verse 15. In the Philippians reading, there's that word remain that Paul uses. I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress. Diligence, perseverance, remaining. These words are linked into our progress, because if you're going to progress in anything, we're almost certainly going to have to persevere in it. Things take time to progress sometimes. It doesn't always happen immediately. In January, we talked in our Thriving series about time, and we said out of that series, you know, time is your friend. Time is your friend. Are you making time for things? Is your perspective of time a healthy one? You know, progression often in anything just takes time. Perseverance is one of those words that links into our progress. So I wonder, are you persevering in the purposes of God in your life? Perseverance is a key attribute in our ability to progress, staying on the road with Jesus, in union with him, continuing to make good choices about creating an environment in which growth is possible, all that kind of stuff. Are you persevering at the moment, even when it's tough? Are you persevering? Are you being diligent? Are you remaining on the road? So progress is powerful. The power of your progress is attached, I think, to our understanding and our knowledge of the purposes of God in our life, both broad-reaching purpose and specific purpose. But our ability to fulfill the purposes of God in our life is hugely linked to our ability to persevere in them. And so that's really the message from this week. Progress is powerful. It links to our purpose, but it also links to perseverance. I hope that's been helpful. And if you've got any questions, please do get in contact or come find me at some point on a Sunday. And hope you have a great rest of your week. Okay, bye-bye.